Hello, friends. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to come along as Paul Scharf takes us on a journey through the New Testament. Paul is a church ministry's representative for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, serving in the Midwest. The content in this study of New Testament survey comes from an online class that Paul taught several years ago for a Bible college, and it will provide you with a basic knowledge of much of the background to our New Testament books and concepts. You can find all of Paul's ministry resources, including all of the messages in this series, at sermonaudio.com/pscharf. Now, here's Paul with today's presentation from New Testament Survey.
Hello again, friends. This is Paul Scharf welcoming you back to New Testament Survey and our wrap-up lecture for week two, in which we're going to once again just make sort of an application from some of the things that we've learned and especially considered as we've read the textbook and went through the first lecture. And we're going to turn to some of those important religious groups that we studied in our textbook this week. And of course, you all know the two big ones. They are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus dealt with those, didn't he? And the Apostle Paul, of course, was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And that word Pharisee is thrown around quite loosely sometimes, so we should really know what we're talking about, shouldn't we, when we say that word? Well, our book describes both of these groups at some length on page 38 and 39. Now, one famous passage where we find both of these groups mingling with Christ is Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus begins with the parable of the wedding feast, which greatly offends the Pharisees. The parable is given in verses 1 through 14 of Matthew 22. The Pharisees, being offended at Jesus, then ask him about paying taxes, and that goes from verse 15 through 21, and Jesus gives the famous statement, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And then verse 22, the Pharisees heard these words, and they marveled and left him and went their way. And then we come to the Sadducees, which, seeing that the Pharisees struck out in trying to tempt Jesus, give him this ridiculous example of a man who dies and leaving a wife, and regarding the law and tradition from the Old Testament, his brother is then to marry the wife and raise up offspring for his brother. And there were seven brothers who all married this hypothetical woman and so forth. And Jesus answers them in verse 29 and said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." And he goes on to give a powerful rebuke to the Sadducees, which goes down to verse 33. And then, beginning in verse 34, we have the Pharisees, when they heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came back and tried to tempt Christ with a lawyer asking him which is the great commandment in the law. Jesus provides an answer to that statement, and then the Pharisees receive finally a question from Christ himself, which gives them an insoluble problem. And that is, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Verse 42, "And when Jesus was done with them, no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more." Well, a very amazing chapter. But who are these groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, as I said, our textbook defines them wonderfully for us. I'd like to read a couple other points of description about them. First of all, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, page 72, it says, "The Sadducees were the religious liberals of their day, for they said there is no resurrection or angels or spirits," Acts 23:8. And to the Sadducees, the resurrection was ridiculous because they believed death ended man's existence. Someone said that the Sadducees believed in no resurrection, therefore they were sad, you see. Just a little bit of humor there to help us remember who the Sadducees were. Now I'd like to quote from the MacArthur Study Bible and the note on Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, which gives us more information. It says, "The Pharisees were a small, about 6,000, legalistic sect of the Jews who were known for their rigid adherence to the ceremonial fine points of the law. Their name means separated ones. Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees was usually adversarial. He rebuked them for using human tradition to nullify Scripture, and especially for rank hypocrisy. MacArthur's note goes on to say the Sadducees were known for their denial of things supernatural. They denied the resurrection of the dead and the existence of angels. Unlike the Pharisees, they rejected human tradition and scorned legalism. They accepted only the Pentateuch as authoritative. They tended to be wealthy, aristocratic members of the priestly tribe, and in the days of Herod, their sect controlled the temple, though they were fewer in number than the Pharisees. Pharisees and Sadducees had little in common. Pharisees were ritualistic, Sadducees were rationalists. Pharisees were legalists, Sadducees were liberals. Pharisees were separatists, Sadducees were compromisers and political opportunists. Yet they united together in their opposition to Christ. John publicly addressed them, dealing here with the situation in Matthew 3 where this note is found, and speaking of John the Baptist, John publicly addressed them as deadly snakes. And one more reference to the MacArthur Study Bible, this time at the note on John chapter 3, verse 1, speaking about the Pharisees. MacArthur said they were highly zealous for ritual and religious purity according to the Mosaic Law, as well as their own traditions that they added to the Old Testament legislation. He writes, although their origin is unknown, they seem to have arisen as an offshoot from the Hasidim, or pious ones, during the Maccabean era. They were generally from the Jewish middle class and mostly consisted of laity, businessmen, rather than priests or Levites. He says they represented the orthodox core of Judaism very strongly and very strongly influenced the common people of Israel. According to Josephus, 6,000 existed at the time of Herod the Great. Jesus condemned them for their hyper-concentration on externalizing religion, rules and regulations, rather than inward spiritual transformation. Now here's the point of application that we want to make from all of this as we close in this wrap-up lecture this week. As our textbook notes, Jesus, when he came to minister on this earth in Israel, walked into an incredibly complex religious situation that had developed over centuries through many different points of origin in the factors in the history of Israel and Judah since the earliest days of the Old Testament and all the way down through the intertestamental time. How did he relate to these incredibly diverse groups in this very complicated situation? I believe that we begin to understand the answer to that question based on insights as they've been recorded for us and systematized for us by one of my favorite teachers, Dr. John Whitcomb. And in fact, my very first course with him was one in which he developed a concept that I had never heard before that he calls God's Truth Circles. Now, in the notes, I point you to a whole series of radio programs that develop his series, God's Truth Circles, that I invite you, encourage you to listen to. The basic point for our circumstance here in this class is to note from the PowerPoint slide that I've included, where you can begin to visualize how Jesus related to people at various points, circles, if you will, extending out from his central point of truth, from his closest earthly disciple, John, all the way out to those who do not know or worship the one true God, and how Jesus invites everyone to come to the interior of the circles, and yet not everyone will, and he deals with people at many different various points in terms of their understanding of and obedience to Scripture and God's revealed truth. Now here's the point for us as we conclude. Jesus, for instance, would never have criticized the Pharisees or the Sadducees before unbelieving Gentiles who had no knowledge of God or of Scripture, because even unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees were closer to understanding and handling God's revealed truth than unbelieving, unsaved, unknowledgeable Gentiles. Furthermore, Jesus would never, for instance, have criticized the Pharisees' belief in the resurrection, on which they were completely correct, to the Sadducees who denied the resurrection. Now, this is a whole study in itself to think of all the implications and applications of God's truth circles. And again, I invite you to listen to that series, but you're not required to do so, but I believe it would be helpful to you. But the point for us is summarized here on our page. While Christ severely condemned the Pharisees for their false doctrines and practices, for instance, if you read Matthew chapter 23, you will see how incredibly harsh he was on them for those very things. Yet, I can remember Dr. Whitcomb saying how he would never have criticized the Pharisees' correct understanding of biblical teaching in front of the Sadducees. Now, that's something we can sort of hang our hats on and take with us as we close this week. And I invite you to go to the discussion board for this week's wrap-up lecture, where I post some ideas that take that thought a little bit further, and then I ask, of course, for your responses, and I will greatly look forward to reading them as we progress through week two of our class. Can you believe we're already 1/8 of the way through this semester? It's hard to believe, but I'm glad each one of you are a part of it. And until next week, this is Paul Scharf, praying the Lord's blessing upon each one of you.